You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Tuesday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the racing at Leicester and Musselburgh. There's also a jumps card over at Huntingdon and we've got evening racing from Wolverhampton on the Tafter at Dunstall Park on Tuesday. So plenty to get your teeth stuck into on racing radio from 1:40pm with Gary Capewell, Dale Gibson, John Babb and Tom Morley in the studio of Bumper Day on Tuesday. But before all that, joining myself, Sam Norris, it's Sam Turner to look ahead to the racing on Tuesday and also look back across the weekend via the Monday jury. Hello, Sam.
Hi, Sam. How are you?
Not too bad, thank you. Have you recovered sufficiently from Stephen Powell's do on Sunday?
Oh, yeah, that was a good affair, wasn't it? Went on to the early hours of the morning and we certainly saw him off in good style, the stag. He'll be heading over to, where's he going? Las Vegas, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, Vegas, there. Yeah.
Elvis isn't marrying him. He's marrying the rather delightful Nadia. In some chapel of ill repute, probably.
Yes, but no, I must admit, I was delighted to find both yourself, Andy Holding, and Darren Owen all arriving on time today, and in relatively good shape between three.
Yeah, I'd say we've probably been fresher.
Yes,
but you know, we're battling on.
Good,
you know, it's
stuff.
Not like we're having to dig the roads, is it?
Indeed,
we're doing all right.
Exactly. We'll take a look at the Monday jury first then, Sam. It's obviously been a bumper weekend of horse racing action and yet another weekend that Aidan O'Brien sort of farmed for himself as well. He can do no wrong at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. Sweeping all before him, really, isn't he? One, two, threes in the arc. And he's just a pretty incredible trainer, to be honest. And the horses managed to hold their form throughout the season and indeed even improve with the workload. It's, very unlike plenty of members of the William Hill staff who seem to recoil for the workload. He manages to keep people going forward. And, yeah, he's been in fantastic form all season. And, you know, he's reaping some rich rewards now. Some of these classy horses are winning again.
Absolutely. And one of those classy horses that we'll come to first is the first question on the Monday jury. Do you think the latest Dewhurst winner will be more Frankel than Air Force Blue? Of course, Churchill landing the Dewhurst at the weekend for Aidan O'Brien. We saw Air Force Blue win the Dewhurst last season, Sam, and never really did anything of note since.
No, he's a morning glory, wasn't he? But I certainly, obviously, this horse is a real doer, isn't he, Churchill?
Yes.
He saves it for the track. Tough, durable, great temperament, great mind, as Aidan likes to say, and he just seems to cope with everything that's thrown at him. You know, he's been pretty industrious this year. He's turned up to one or two tough parties and answered his critics, if there are any, with really emphatic performances. And yet again on Saturday, you know, you could do in no way crib anything that he manages to produce on the track. You know, he copes with easy ground, fast ground, new market coming out the dip. He's coped with that. He's coped with Curra. You know, he's just a very, very versatile, likeable colt, who's a big fella as well. He's going to improve through the winter, you would imagine, and grow into his frame. He's a bit of a shell of a horse at the moment. So God help the opposition next year.
Yeah, it looks as though he'll be better as a three-year-old, which, of course, was never really the case with Air Force Blue. Another one by Warfront. I know a lot of people question whether or not they go on as a three-year-old. He very much looked a two-year-old, whereas you quite rightly said there looks to be more to come from Churchill.
Yeah, he already looks a three-year-old, yes. Doesn't he, Churchill? I mean, there is a point that some would say, well, maybe a few will catch up with him. You know, he might have just been bullying his rivals this year because of his size, because of his scope. But you just think with him, there's plenty left under the bonnet, really. You don't think we've seen the real deal yet. Mm. He just gets it done, which is, you know, is a terrific facet in his makeup. The fact that, you know, he just goes and wins and grinds these victories out. And, you know, he's pretty stylish and polished on Saturday. So he's not just workmanlike.
Yeah, certainly. So we'll move on to question number two then, which concerns another of the Coolmore Conquerors. Is Rhododendron your idea of a Phillies Classic winner for next season? Obviously, added another one to her name over the weekend, and she's Antipo's favourite with us here for both the 1,000 guineas at 9-2 and for the Oaks at 6-1. A lot of water to go under the bridge from now until the Classics next term, but certainly looks as if he's got yet another good filly on his hands.
Oh, for sure. I mean, both her and Hydrangea, who she beat on Friday, you know, they're both very, very useful in their own right. And who knows which path they're going to go next year, and who knows how much improvement there is in either of them. But Rhododendron stepped up to the mile for the first time on the fast ground, which she seems to prefer, I think. Those are the two aspects of those conditions that suited her so ideally at Newmarket. She was supremely impressive, really. Quick and very nice in style of a classy filly. And as we touched on, you know, fifth run of the season, but seemingly getting better. She got a little bit stuck in the mud when she was beaten the time before by Intricately. But I just wondered whether that hard race that she had at the Curragh the time before, you know, it was only 3 weeks before, that might just have taken the edge off her when she saw off Hydrangea in game and battling fashion. And I think we saw much more the classy performance on Friday. She was freshened up and she really did bounce off the fast ground. And obviously, she got course and distance form at Newmarket. She's going to be a short price for the guineas.
Yeah, absolutely. At the other end of the spectrum then, in terms of finances, could Mrs. Danvers develop to be the next Quiet Reflection? Obviously, this was a relatively cheap purchase. Certainly, when you take into account the horses we've discussed so far, Mrs. Danvers, one from the bargain bucket, but hasn't performed like that on the track.
Yeah, well, she failed to make a £1,000 reserve in February, or something like that. Yeah, I mean, the good thing with this filly is that she's been very well placed, but she's been to some tough parties as well and delivered. But she's also achieved some really, really good speed figures. Obviously, the Newbury run was like that. I think Friday's performance as well was yet again in a very, very swift speed figure. So it's not as if she's been fluking these races. She's pretty classy in her own right. And, you know, as far back as sort of Windsor, she was doing good speed figures. So hopefully she can. Hopefully she's going to stay ahead of the field and, you know, they won't catch her up physically, but she's with a really good trainer who really does specialise in getting the best out of this type of horse. And fingers crossed that she, you know, she could be like a Cinderella story and enjoy a bit of Royal Ascot success as well. They've certainly won a few quid with her this year.
Yeah, and indeed, it's really becoming, as you said there, a bit of a fairy tale with Mrs. Danvers. The last three questions then turn towards Ascot Champions Day next weekend. First off, who do you think will win the Champion Stakes? Almanzor, the 6-4 favourite, Found 7-2, Fascinating Rock 5-1, Minding 5-1, Highland Reel 10s and 14s or bigger the rest. Quite a few towards the head of the betting, Sam. Have had long old seasons.
Yeah, they have. And I think the key with Almanzor is that, you know, Jean-Claude Rouget, who's enjoyed a magnificent season himself with a number of high profile winners, both this side of the water and across the water. As soon as this lad won the Irish Champion and beat Found, you know, that form doesn't look too shabby, does it? With Minding back in third, he immediately nominated this race. He wasn't going to be seduced by going for something like the Arc. He was intent that the Champion Stakes was the race that he wanted to come for. This has been his primary objective. You can't say that with many of the others in this field, really. Maybe Minding, perhaps, but, you know, obviously Found, I wouldn't say it's an afterthought, because she comes good in the autumn and she does take her racing really well. But, you know, the Arc was obviously the primary concern. That was a magnificent performance. So I would just worry a little bit that, you know, perhaps one or two of these horses are coming here, you know, as an afterthought rather than as a primary objective. And that's certainly not the case with Almanzor. He's very progressive, tough, genuine, real true 10 furlong horse. He's won his last four. And, you know, he's obviously won two Group 1s in his last three starts as well. So he's a tremendous horse in his own right. By Wooten Bassett, of course. Trained by Richard Farney, that was.
Very good. Almanzor then, a worthy 6-4 favourite for Sam in the Champion Stakes. We'll move on to the QE2 now, a battle of the young horses. Ribchester in the betting at 2-1, Minding 3-1, Gallo Gold 4-1, Jet Setting, who is a late supplement for this race, 4-1, 15-2, Autard, Lightning Spear 9-1, 10s or bigger the rest. A few of these have bumped heads a couple of times this season, Sam, and just on those last few runs, Ribchester's beginning to get the better of these early season classic winners.
Yeah, well, the forecast looks dry, and Jet Setting's obviously in a couple of races at the weekend, and you would worry that perhaps it's not going to be soft enough for her, and she's 4-1, so she takes out quite a big percentage in the market here, really. Ribchester's been a horse that he's been a bit of a slow burner, hasn't he? Early part of the year, you wondered whether he was going to really achieve what he looked capable of. He was, you know, just a touch disappointing, perhaps. Certainly, when I saw him at Maison Lafitte, he was, you know, that was a really disappointing effort. But then he stepped on that. He ran really well in the Guineas, and he's built his season through that, and he's been kept pretty fresh as well. To be honest, he hasn't been over-raced mid-season because he won his the Jersey at Royal Ascot in really good fashion. Travelled beautifully. Was probably one of the most impressive winners of the meeting. Ran really well in the Sussex. He was unlucky, and then of course went to Deauville to win the Jacques Le Marwoir in really good fashion under William Buick. And you always felt that he had that race in safekeeping from quite a long way out, even though the margin of victory wasn't that extensive. So he's going to be a very difficult horse to beat. He's got obviously got good Ascot form. Goes on any ground. You know, the straight miles should be ideal. It's building up to be a fascinating race with Ortad in there and Minding possible. And obviously Jet Setting has been a great story this year. But I think Ribchester's a real quality colt, isn't he?
Yeah, certainly is. Finally then, the sprinters in action over the weekend as well. Limato heading the betting for the British Champion Sprint Stakes at 11-4. Quiet Reflection 100-30. Shalar is 11-2. 15-2 the Tin Man. Mecca's Angel 8-1. 10-1 Twilight Sun. And Bigger the Rest. It looks a bit of a puzzle for me, Sam.
Yeah, I mean, is he in the QE2 as well? Or is he just in the British Sprint?
I'm not sure now, actually. He certainly did have an entry into the QE2. He may well have been scratched on Monday as a final field of 15 have gone forward, I think.
Yeah, quite possibly. I think it's a really intriguing race because obviously you've got Mecca's Angel who would step up from 5-6. Shalar, who overcame a 360-odd day absence to win first time out on soft ground. I'd just be worried about him bouncing a little bit. Tin Man can be a bit in and out. If Lamato runs, I think he'll take the world of beating. But I do think Labrisa Breeze, you know, that performance to win that 7-furlong handicap a week or two back at Ascot was just so astonishing. I backed the second and third that day and was literally counting my money. And then Labrisa Breeze gets a quarter of an inch of daylight 50 yards from home and picks up about four lengths and beats them both. So that was an absolutely exceptional performance. I thought if the ground was a little on the easy side, Labrisa Breeze would be a major player here. Whether he gets taken off his feet a little bit over six on fast ground is open to question. But we've already seen a winner come out of that race and win well. Intisab was fourth that day and he won a competitive York handicap at the weekend. So the form's already taken a boost. And I think he's a major player if he does go for this race, Labrisa Breeze.
Okay, good stuff. Sam's thoughts then on the racing at Ascot to come up at the weekend. We'll move on to matters closer at hand now, though. We've got four races picked out for Tuesday, two from Leicester and two from Musselburgh to bring you. We begin with Leicester's 3-10, a six-runner field here for a 7-furlong Class 2 handicap, but a fair prize on offer, Sam, and a couple of interesting horses come into this race.
Yeah, it's a nasty little heat. I think if they had a fair bit of rain, I think Ascension would be, you know, a horse that would have a great chance here. I've taken a little bit of a chance with C Note, just because the yard's in a bit of form recently. Obviously, Jim Crowley's going to be crowned as the champion jockey this year. And he's a horse that, early part of the season, looked as though he was really going places. It was a smart performance to win first time up, and he won very comfortably that day. And that was over six with some cut in the ground. Now, he's probably not going to get those conditions. Well, he's not, because he's racing over seven here for a start. But he's not going to get the genuine cut in the ground that he would like. But he's a horse that does go well on decent ground as well. And I just hope that the blinkers are going to turn him round a little bit, because that last performance was disappointing at Lingfield in a small field. But prior to that, you know, some really decent efforts. He wasn't disgraced in the Jersey Stakes. He was only beaten 10 or 12 lengths by Ribchester. Ran well at Newmarket at the time after on fast ground. Hopefully in this sort of smaller field, he can go well. And, you know, the blinkers, if they do just sharpen him up a little bit, could make him, you know, a reasonable proposition here.
Okay, the bottom weight then, C Note in the first time headgear for Martin Mead and Jim Crowley gets the pick in the Leicester 3-10. We stay at Leicester now for their 3:45, another handicap over the minimum trip this time. Eight runners line up to contest this Class 2, so a bit of an each-way shape to the race should you be choosing to play it that way. And we've got a couple of horses in here who've won bigger handicaps than this, Boone the Groom most notably at the top, Sam.
Yeah, classy sprinter when he's in good form, and you know, it's a horse that you very much bear in mind for a race of this nature. Dugan, obviously, a very interesting one for the Shropshire Wolves. Jim Crowley booked. Jim partnered him when he won over six furlongs at Wolverhampton. Absolutely scooted up that day. Wonder whether five is quite his trip. I would just plump, just from a, perhaps a price perspective, on Hey Tude, who himself was a course and distance winner two starts ago on easy ground when he beat Ornate. That was a really good speed figure. He tried to then keep tabs with Caspian Prince at Beverly. That burst him, really. I think back into sort of handicap company after, you know, running in a race such as that Beverly contest, which obviously didn't really suit him, and the fact he couldn't get to the front didn't help him, and it was a conditions race, etc., etc. So I think, you know, back in a handicap, back at his favourite venue, Sylvester on again, who gets a good tune out of him. Hopefully Hey Tudor can go right.
Hey Tude for Sam then in the 3:45 at Leicester. We head over to Musselburn now, beginning with their 3:20. This is a conditioned stakes over 5 furlongs, Class 3 event. Seven runners line up for this one. Anyone leaping off the page, Sam?
Well, the aforementioned Caspian Prince is, you know, this is his type of track, isn't it? A fast track, 5 furlongs, good to firm ground. There's no reason at all why he shouldn't run really well. And I think Roger Fell, is he still looking for his first winner since taking over the licence? So this looks as though it's going to give him a good opportunity there. I just thought Duke of Firenze has been running really well of late. I mean, he finished only beaten a couple of lengths in the Abbey. It was a really good run for a 50-1 poke. And the time before that, at York, he was only just touched off by Boom the Groom. So I thought, again, that was a really solid performance in a very warm handicap. I just think he'd be quite interesting in this 3:20. I wonder whether Caspian Prince and one or two others might go absolute million up front and just set it up for a closer. Fingers crossed David Allen can get a good tune out of him again.
Duke of Friends, then the choice for Sam, number two on your race card for the 3:20 at Musselburgh. One more race to come then, it's Musselburgh's 4:25. We round off with a 14 runner sprint handicap here. It's a class five and plenty to choose from, Sam.
Oh yeah, a bit of a nightmare this race, to be honest. This very competitive sprint handicap, and you know, going through the form, it was tough to try and nail your colours to one mast. In the end, I tried to keep it plain and simple. Paul Moran's a rider I really got a lot of time for, and he rides one boy here, and he has struck up a pretty decent relationship with him, so I will just stick with him. They were just about prevailed in a driving finish last time out, over course and distance, beating Vimy Ridge and Royal Brave. Thought that was a fairly decent effort at this level. He's clocked some good speed figures at Musselburgh as well, so he would just get my nod in a what looks an impossible race. He's also drawn quite wide as well, which I never quite mind too much at Musselburgh.
Okay. One boy then, a former course and distance winner and one of a clutch of runners who won last time out, gets the nod for Sam Turner in the Musselburgh 4:25. Just give us a quick spin through, please, one more time, Sam, your selections for the action at both Leicester and Musselburgh on Tuesday.
Yeah, Leicester 3:10. I like the claims here of Martin Mead's C-Note, who wears the blinkers for the first time. In the 3:45, really competitive little handicap, but I'm hoping Hey Tude can perhaps make all the running under Sylvester D'Souza. 3:20 at Musselburgh, Duke of Firenze should appreciate the strong gallop that looks certain to be set here by the likes of Caspian Prince, and he can go well for David Griffiths and David Allen. Then in the 4:25, another sprint handicap, the Racing UK HD handicap. One boy of Paul Midgley's and Paul Morenan could be the answer to a fiercely contested race.
Excellent stuff. There we are then, the thoughts of Sam Turner ahead of the racing on Tuesday. Thank you very much for that, Sam. Best of luck and enjoy the action.
Cheers, Sam.
And remember, you can tune in to William Hill's Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. with Gary Capewell, John Babb, Dale Gibson and Tom Morley in the studio for all of Tuesday's action. You've been listening to the Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.